Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, how have the Texans' offseason moves been hitting so far, four games in? How would we rate these? And I've got the list right here. We're going to start with the most significant ones as we welcome you back in. 8 o'clock hours here, Payne and Pendergast. Oh, by the way, next segment, we had a few people weigh in on this on the text page. Completely forgot about this, and this is on us. And this may be why the Astros lost yesterday. The old Payne and Pendergast hex that has worked so well in past postseasons.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a big reason why they've made seven straight ALCSs and won a World Series in 2022.
We've won multiple Unsung Hero Awards for that.
Should have, at least.
Mostly
yeah.
created awards created by myself, and they only sit in my Google Docs. But we don't need the recognition. We just need to do what we need to do, which is use the hex. We try to be careful. There's only so much black magic that we can dole out.
Yeah.
You know, there's a limited supply. It's not like oil that just keeps popping up everywhere.
Right.
Okay, there's only so much. So today we're in a closeout situation. We will hex somebody by the end of the show.
We will.
We'll have to be their opener.
Don't spoil it yet.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. We'll do it at 8:24.
All right. I know. I know. I said it might have to be.
Yeah.
There. I'm not sure. Okay.
Yeah. But that's you and I are simpatico.
Yeah, send in your suggestions and arguments for who should be hexed today.
Yes.
Poor bastard doesn't even know it's coming.
That's it, man.
He's sleeping in his hotel. Yep. I wish I knew where it was so I could tell everybody to go pull an alarm or something. But I have no idea. But he doesn't know either.
Nope.
That his fate has already been sealed.
Yep.
Yes.
So text in. Who do you want us to hex on the Tigers? 713-572-4610. We will ultimately make the determination, but we are willing to listen to the people on this. All right, Texans offseason moves. How are they hitting so far? I said this conversation, the genesis of this was yesterday when you and I were doing a segment about Nico Collins. And at one point during the segment, it just kind of hit me. And I'm like, that was the best move they made this offseason. In an offseason where they traded for Diggs, traded for Mixon, signed Danielle Hunter. And we'll get into all those moves and how they're working out in a second. In my opinion, the best move that the Texans made this offseason was the, now at least early on, what appears to be an incredibly, incredibly reasonable 3-year, $72 million extension for the most prolific and possibly the best wide receiver in the NFL so far.
Yes, 100%. I mean, that's
A-plus.
Continuing on this track, if Nico doesn't even have to perform at this same level, but if he is just this steady and reliable, including versus good defenses, then that's going to be an extreme bargain.
Oh my God.
I think that ends up being a team-initiated extension at some point.
Like with a year left.
Yeah, I don't see Nico complaining about it or anything. I think it's just that, kind of like it was this first go-around, I think the Texans realized they got a good thing, and they were able to get Nico signed early before any of the other big contracts, and it ends up, yes, very much being a relative bargain.
What a great deal. A good deal for both sides, too.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like Nico didn't have a huge body of work when they gave him that money.
Right, yeah, when you're looking at him versus Amon St. Brown or whomever else, it's he doesn't have that track record. Hasn't done it as consistently for as long.
The Diggs trade, and we actually did kind of a referendum on the Diggs trade yesterday when you asked the question, like, where are we at on the Diggs trade four weeks in? I give that a very, very solid grade, too. That's probably an A- or an A for me.
Well,
so
this is
far.
The thing. This is where it's very easy for me to keep that as the number two for two reasons, actually. One is that one of the reasons that Nico has been so steady and so reliable is that, yeah, they are seeing a lot of zone coverage because there are at least two and sometimes three really threatening wide receivers teams have to worry about. And Nico is just built for, you know, hurting cover two. Like, that's he's very adept at sliding into the open and the soft spots in a defense. They'll throw to him just even when the cover two is executed, and, you know, you would only throw it to Nico because he's run the route so well and because he's got that big frame that he can reel things in. So if there were no Stephon Diggs, especially last week where there was no Tank Dell, and if there were no Stephon Diggs, you're going to get Nico bracketed a lot more. So yeah, 100% there. And then the other is my expectations were never going to be that they'll have 3,000 yard receivers. Right. It just doesn't work that way typically even when you have really, really good talent, even have 2,000, well, two 1,200-yard receivers, whatever it might be, that it was probably going to be one guy who was going to get the lion's share, and I didn't know who it was. A lot of you guys out there predicted Nico Collins, and kudos to you, but I didn't need three guys to be on pace for 1,000 yards. I just needed it to create opportunities in specific games, and we've gotten that with Nico 3 out of 4 games.
The Danielle Hunter signing, two years, $50 million, most of it guaranteed. Where are we at on Danielle Hunter?
I'm still good with it. I think that some of the lack of sack production isn't as much about Danielle's individual performance as the defensive line as a whole, at the defensive tackle position specifically. But neither he nor Anderson are getting a lot of hits on the quarterback.
Right.
It's one thing. They're getting close. And
they're creating clutter.
Yeah, and it gets chalked up as a pressure just because they're close to the quarterback. But I don't like the way some of these, you know, like you look at various stat services and Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter are not leading the league in pressures the way NFL Next Gen Stats says they are.
Yeah.
So the biggest thing about that signing still that I like is you are getting a really productive guy who is putting pressure on the passer. And it's a lucrative contract, but it's only a 2-year deal. If you look at the Von Miller contract, right now the Bills are now losing Von Miller again. He hasn't been playing that much this season. He's getting about 20 snaps per game. It didn't do anything for him really last year. So this is like, and it was a 3-year deal. Mm-hmm. So that was probably way too aggressive for a guy at the time. He was 33 years old. I think it's still a realistic contract for Danielle Hunter.
Yeah.
I do think at some point there's going to be a deluge of sacks.
Yeah, I do too. It's coming. It's coming. I'm totally cool with the Hunter signing. The Joe Mixon trade plus the contract extension.
It's weird, but by his absence, I would say that Mixon has shown that he's more valuable than Danielle Hunter right now.
Wow.
I mean, he's going to be the straw that stirs the drink in a lot of ways with the offense. Because they don't have a guy. Let's say even that Damian Pierce looks more like he did in his rookie year when he comes back. They don't have a bona fide backup right now that you feel like can run this offense. So Cam Akers and J.J. Taylor and whomever else, they were not nearly enough of a replacement for Joe Mixon. Maybe if they'd given a Gumbawale more carries, maybe it would have looked different. I don't know.
Yeah.
But Mixon, if he can stay healthy, and that's already a huge if. We've had two stretches of absences from him. The entire training camp now and 3 weeks without Joe Mixon after having traded for him. So based on that, I'll put him below Danielle Hunter because Danielle Hunter's actually been playing football. But if he can stay healthy the rest of the season, I think that'll be the slam dunk trade on the season.
Yeah, it's weird because your point is very valid when it comes to the availability part. It's been available for a game and a half so far, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, as we head into week 5 here, you know, what's my concern about Joe Mixon being injury prone or, you know, there's 13 games left in the season? What's my concern that he's only able to play 5 of them? It's actually lower than it might be for somebody who missed most of training camp and has already missed a couple games with an injury. I feel like the ankle injury was one of those, like, that. If a 22-year-old gets tackled the way Joe Mixon did on that play, he's missing 2 games also,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So that's not one of those injuries where I'm like, he's getting old. Now, the training camp thing is interesting because that was a quad and and he missed almost all of training camp. And that, you know, anything soft tissue does feel like an older guy injury. And yet I feel like there was probably a lot with the Texans where they're like, look, he's played in this offense before. We actually need to get a look at Damian Pierce more than we need to get a look at Joe Mixon in this offense.
Yeah.
So and Mixon was working out every day off to the side pretty ferociously. So I am very much glass half fulling this thing. I understand it. I'm looking at it through battle red glasses right now. I'm not overly concerned about Mixon. I'm not overly concerned about Mixon being the offense's version of Jimmy Ward.
Right.
Where Jimmy Ward misses half the season and it's with 3 different injuries that are hamstrings and quads.
Yeah, the injury being a hip drop tackle scenario too was probably, you're not theoretically, and you're not seeing that as much this year. I mean, it was really just a small window of time where the hip drop tackle was even being used in the NFL.
Yeah.
And Joe Mixon ends up being a sacrificial lamb for exactly why they shouldn't allow the hip drop tackle.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah. So that does make me feel better about his ability to stay healthy for the rest of the year.
Azeez Alshire.
Alshire, Alshire, low-key, in some ways, might be the best signing of the year, even though I don't think he's going to be All-Pro or Pro Bowl or anything like that. D'Amico on his coach's show talked about that goal line stand and how, because the quarter changed, they had time to talk about it on the sideline.
That's right. Third and goal.
Yeah.
Stingley knocks the pass down. That was the last play of the third quarter.
We'll have to play that later in the show. It's one of those things that I listened to late last night, and it didn't get me that excited, and now I just remembered it, and now I'm super excited about it. But I didn't tab the audio.
Yeah.
So D'Amico's talking about, they were telling the guys what to expect in that situation, and Alshire, I think, said, QB draw. It'll be a QB draw. I remember from last year playing against Jacksonville twice and scouting and everything. And D'Amico had his input and his instructions to those guys. They changed their alignment. They changed the defensive tackle's alignment and tweaked it to expect run right there.
Yeah.
And it ended up being perfect. So Alshire's veteran presence there and his ability to help guys get lined up and everything. I think it's as long as the defense really comes together, like he's going to be a big underrated part of it.
Yeah, he's been solid so far this year, man. The D'Amico Autry signing, I would say, incomplete.
The big question for D'Amico Autry is, look, I know that his story is that he was done in by a pharmacist or that didn't tell him what he was taking or put the wrong medication in.
Yeah.
The thing I would worry about is, he's a guy that had 12 sacks in his early 30s last year. Whether he knew what he was taking was legal or not, how much of it was linked to the thing that he got pinched for this offseason?
So you're pretty worried that we might get a real janky version of D'Amico Autry?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm old enough to remember what Tony Mandrich looked like when he went from the NCAA, where you're allowed to take steroids, to the NFL, where they were testing for steroids.
God, he aged like 30 years.
It was a different,
two seasons.
Yeah. He looked like he was a lumping mess out there.
Yes.
So, there's a little bit of that concern.
Okay.
I'll say maybe he didn't even realize he was taking something that was bad. But of course, he made it all the way through last season where you get tested multiple times.
So. Yeah, we'll see. I'm excited to get him back just to see what it looks like with him out there.
Yeah.
You know, rushing from the interior. But we can't really grade that signing yet. Other than it's an F so far because he got suspended for six games.
If they hadn't signed Danielle Hunter, remember, D'Amico Autry was your marquee free agency signing on the defensive side
That's
of the ball.
That's right. Yeah.
And he would have been your everyday. You would have been without the guy that you had planned being your everyday starter for 6 weeks.
Derek Barnett would be getting 55 snaps a game right now.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe he'd be going off.
Maybe. Couple more. Two re-signings. The Kyahmi Fairbairn re-signing looks very, very good right now. He's been the best kicker in the NFL. Missed one kick. Kicked a bunch of 50-yarders, so it's hard to give that one a bad grade. Where are we on Dalton Schultz making $12 million a year for the next
Schultz
3 years?
I'm cool with right now. I think that as the offense kind of finds itself and as they adjust to the way defenses are playing, he's come up big late in the game. Like last week, for instance, especially with not just getting the first down, but getting that much closer to the goal line. I feel good about Dalton Schultz right now. I think that was just A-okay. I don't need him to have crazy fantasy stats. And as multiple people have pointed out this morning, tight ends around the league also not. If teams are playing a lot of zone and everything, it's easier for guys in coverage to latch onto a tight end.
Yeah, Dalton Schultz didn't break out last year till week five.
Yeah.
He started the same way last year as he did this year statistically.
And I think part of that, too, was how often are you having to use the tight ends and running backs in pass protection?
Yeah.
And the offensive line has been an issue here, and they've been, especially versus blitzes, we've seen those guys line up not just on the line and having to pass protect, but the tight ends lining up in the backfield and then pass protecting before they release on their routes. And it's tough to get them involved in the passing game that way.
Yep. The only other two that I could think of, like signings that have hit the mark, you know, where they show up. Tommy Townsend, you signed him. He's been a solid enough punter so far. Mario Edwards Jr. has been a, for what it is, you know, just a one-year, you know, kind of
veteran low-level
signing.
Yeah, I think that it's in that same vein of lots of guys the Texans have brought in on 1 or 2 year contracts that might end up getting a good contract elsewhere. Maybe they re-sign him.
Mm-hmm.
The defensive tackles. It is what it is, and to some degrees, in this defense, it's really hard for those guys to anchor down versus double teams when you're also asking them to fire off the ball as fast as possible. And yet, at the same time, neither of those guys, Fadakasi and Mario Edwards, really, they're not Warren Sapp. So if they're in a defense where all you're asking is for the defensive tackle to get off the ball as fast as possible, you're going to miss out on some of the anchoring ability. But with Warren Sapp, obviously, it's the plays behind the line of scrimmage that matter. And these guys are kind of those tweener types where you're not necessarily getting the best version of either of those.
Keith from Detroit texts in. This is circling back over to the Astros. You can use whatever type of... So this is somebody from Detroit listening to the show.
Mm.
You can use whatever type of hex you want. What A.J. Hinch is doing with his bullpen is voodoo. Blackwood magic, if you will. Try what you will. This series is over.
Over? Oh, well, cocky Detroit, coming from a Detroit sports fan.
Detroit to the divisional round. We came into this series with 13 postseason at-bats total on the team. LOL, how embarrassing for the Stros.
Ah, no.
Maybe next year.
Embarrassing. All right, listen, big talker. Is that a...
Is the series over? He's
channeling or invoking... This is a guy that hasn't watched baseball for the last decade or so.
Dude, you won one game. It's not a one-game wild
card. This series is over. I'll tell you about various series that have been over that the Astros then won, or the Astros themselves. When they were the best team in baseball, the World Series looked all but over, and the Astros were going to clinch it. And the Nationals came back. I can take this from both sides.
Yeah.
Is that Stan Van Gundy? I think that's Stan Van Gundy. If it's a stupid take that was texted into a phone, that's definitely Stan Van Gundy.
Just says Keith.
Okay.
So I started hearing from Minnesota fans yesterday after the Astros lost.
Mm-hmm.
Getting tweets.
Oh really?
From them,
oh really?
Tweets with a box of Kleenex.
Like claiming victory after
like one more loss and you're with the Twins in Cancun. And
they
I haven't
didn't
said
learn
anything.
Their lesson, did they?
Haven't all said right. anything. I'm just gonna lay low. I'm not gonna reply. Would I reply after one game? The series isn't over yet.
No. It's kind of comical at this point when teams that just know nothing of recent success all of a sudden act like they're going to tell you how it is. I've already got my
response loaded up in case the Astros do lose this series to the Twins fan. I'm like, this is why I was so disappointed that you guys were such trash at the end of the year, because otherwise we would have been playing you in the wild card round, and we would have for sure moved on to the next round.
Listen, Detroit Tigers fan, you know nothing of our track record, undefeated success of putting a hex on somebody, because you haven't really followed baseball all that much.
That's right.
So
anybody who follows baseball,
I'll forgive you that. But for the most part, Detroit Tigers fans, we pretty much look at people like you the way a lion might look at an antelope who put up a good fight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, he had spirit. That one.
Cute.
Yes, it was cute.
Cute little
animal. It was
cute
the way he did that.
You're cuddly.
Yes.
You're almost stuffed. You will be soon.
So I'll send you a nice gift basket or something, Detroit Tigers fan.
All right, so let's do it. Let's hex a tiger in the next segment.
Next segment already.
All right, yeah, boy. Yeah. So get ready.
It's a lot of responsibility.
Get ready. I know, but we got to do it.
I always feel kind of emotionally drained after we put the hex on somebody. Okay. A little bit of my life force drains from me.
You got another hour and a half after we put the hex on somebody.
I'm going to go drain my life force on that dude's wife.
Get your mind right. All right, text in 713-572-4610. We hex a tiger coming up next.